The Hummingbird by Sandro Veronesi. Read by Sylvia Presente, Victor Vertuni, and Kristin Atherton. Translated by Elena Pala. One might say, 1999. The Trieste neighborhood in Rome is, one might say, one of the focal points of this story that has many other focal points. The neighborhood has forever oscillated between elegance and decay, luxury and mediocrity, privilege and insignificance, and that should suffice for now. No point describing it further, because describing it at the start of the story might turn out to be tedious or even counterproductive. At any rate, the best way to describe a place is to describe what happens in it, and something important is about to happen here. Let's put it this way. One of the key events in this tale of many tales takes place in the Trieste neighborhood in Rome on a mid-October morning in 1999, and specifically at the corner between Via Chiana and Via Reno on the first floor of one of those buildings that, as promised, we won't bother describing here. Except what is about to happen here is a decisive and, one might say, potentially fatal event in the life of the main character in this story. Dr. Marco Carrera, ophthalmologist, reads the nameplate on the door. The door which, for a little while yet, separates him from one of the most crucial moments in a life full of many other crucial moments. Inside his practice, as it happens on the first floor of one of those buildings, etc., he is writing a prescription for an old lady suffering from ciliary blepharitis. Antibiotic eye drops, follow-up medication after an innovative, revolutionary, even one might say, treatment consisting of N-acetylcysteine drops instilled in the eye, which, for many of his patients, has already averted the main complication of this condition, namely, its tendency to become chronic. Outside, however, destiny is lying in wait in the shape of a little man named Daniele Caradori. Bald and bearded, he possesses a magnetic, one might say, gaze, which will shortly be directed at the ophthalmologist's eyes, instilling in them first disbelief, then anxiety, and finally sorrow, none of which the ophthalmologist's science will be able to cure. The little man has made up his mind now, a decision that has brought him to the waiting room, where he is currently sitting, looking at his shoes, not taking advantage of the many magazines on display on the coffee table, brand new magazines, not the stuff from last year that falls apart when you pick it up. No use hoping he'll change his mind. Here we go. The door opens. The old blepharitic lady walks out and turns to shake the doctor's hand, then heads towards the reception desk to pay for the treatment, 120,000 lira, as Carrera pops out to call in the following patient. The little man gets up and comes forward. Carrera shakes his hand and welcomes him in. Nestled in the shelving unit next to the trusty Marantz amp and two mahogany AR-6 speakers, a vintage Thorens record player, now obsolete, but one of the best in its time, that is, a quarter of a century ago, is playing Graham Nash's Song for Beginners at a very low volume. The enigmatic record sleeve, propped up against the above-mentioned shelving unit and picturing the above-mentioned Graham Nash holding a camera against the rather obscure background, is the most eye-catching element in the whole room. The door closes. Here we go. The veil separating Dr. Carrera from the most devastating emotional shock in a life full of many other emotional shocks has fallen. Let us pray for him, and for all the ships out at sea. Poste Restante, Postcard, 1998. Louisa Lattes, Poste Restante, 59-78 Rue des Archives, 75003 Paris, France. Rome, 17th of April, 1998. Working and thinking of you. M. Yes or No, 1999. Good morning. My name is Daniele Caradori. Marco Carrera, good morning. Does my name ring a bell? Should it? Yes, it should. What did you...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?